I am Grandpa, and I love you.
I'm Grandma, and I love you too.
Welcome to our podcast, Grandpa and Grandma Bedtime Stories.
We share some stories that will make you laugh.
We share stories that might make you cry.
And we share stories that will give you courage to choose the right.
And these bedtime stories will help you to dream sweet dreams.
So get on your pajamas and say your prayers.
Turn out the light and hear our story tonight. Good evening. This is Grandpa Edward Jeffrey Hill, and tonight's bedtime story is part two of how a truly epic Valentine that I gave to Juanita Ray in 1976 changed my life forever. You will remember that in fall 1975 and winter 1976, Juanita Ray and I, Edward Jeffrey Hill, had become best friends, and then boyfriend-girlfriend, and then best friends again. You will remember that I made Juanita an epic 12-page romantic yet friendly Valentine. And remember that Juanita surprisingly invited me to take a weekend trip to Farron, Utah with her and Gary Marlene Hinton. We left off that story when I was about to give her the Valentine. Let's see what happened. Here we go. I girded up my loins and fresh courage took and determined to try my luck with Juanita on Friday the 13th to give her the epic Valentine. I turned toward her, caught her eye, and in a friendly voice said, "I have something for you." She kind of smiled and responded, "What is it?" Now I smiled broadly and said, "You'll have to see for yourself." Then I put my backpack on my lap and carefully opened it. With as much drama as I could, I slowly pulled out my epic 12-page, carefully crafted, wondrous Valentine. She seemed excited when I handed it to her. Her eyes were immediately drawn to all of the hearts on the cover. There was just enough light for her to read it. Juanita was very surprised and had never seen anything like it before. No one had ever worked so hard on anything for her in her whole life. Actually, that's probably an exaggeration. I know her mother worked 9 months on being pregnant with her, but no one certainly had worked on a Valentine for her for that long before. She took a long time to read at every page, to look at every picture, to just take it all in. It looked like she was liking what she was seeing. However, she didn't say anything, and she didn't show any overt emotion. I was unsure what she thought about it. I imagine she might have been unsure about what she thought about it, too. But Juanita didn't say anything. But after a minute or two, she did something even better than anything she could have said. Sometimes actions do speak louder than words. Just then, Juanita Ray reached over and took my hand. Oh my goodness! She was holding my hand. We had not held hands for weeks since she sent me to the friend zone. My heart started beating faster, and I got so happy. We still didn't say anything for a long time. We just sat there, holding hands. And now she sat right next to me, too. It was so nice to have her close. Then Marlene, noticing it was so quiet, wanted some conversation. So she turned around and said something, "Hey, what's going on back there?" When she turned around and saw us holding hands and Juanita sitting right next to me, she giggled. And she said, "Oh, I see what's going on back there. You guys, please keep it G-rated." That livened things up, and the four of us talked about lots of things as we exited I-15 and drove on Highway 6 toward Price and then the 108 miles to Farron, Utah. It was a very fun trip, And I assure you that the only thing we did was hold hands. We did keep it G-rated. And frankly, holding hands with Juanita is the only thing I can specifically remember of the conversations that we had towards Farron. The Flakes' home in Farron was very eclectic. You might say that it was weird, but I like the word eclectic. Actually, their home was under construction, so it looked really weird. When we got out of the car, Juanita stopped holding my hand and didn't even walk by me. I chose to be a little sad because I was a little insecure about how much Juanita really liked me. Do you know what the word insecure means? It means not confident or certain, uneasy, anxious. And I'll tell you, that's exactly how I felt. Only the basement of Dale and Cynthia Flake's house was completed, so there was actually no house there. Only the front steps and the front door and the basement. To get into the house, which was only the basement, you climbed up the front steps, went through the front door, and then immediately climbed down the basement steps. We walked right in without knocking and found your great uncle Dale and great aunt Cynthia and their two daughters, Afton and Emma, there. In genealogical terms, Afton and Emma would be your first cousins once removed. Their small basement home was well lived in. In other words, it was not very tidy. In fact, it was very messy. However, Dale and Cynthia were literally angels. Sometimes I thought Cynthia's face actually glowed. They were so kind and loving, and they still are to this day. You should meet them someday if you can. They had dinner ready for us. They had lots of vegetables in that dinner, and I was amazed that they drank goat's milk. Then we played a few games and laughed so hard. They were so fun to be with. Dale told some incredible stories. I was getting sleepy and started yawning a lot. I wanted to say my prayers and go to bed. I looked around at the eight of us in that tiny basement and didn't see anywhere where I could say my prayers, nor anywhere where I could go to sleep. I finally spoke up and excused myself. I said that I wanted to say my prayers outside and that I'd be back in a few minutes. I went out the front door, and it was a clear February night. It was a little cool, but not cold. There were no lights anywhere, and I could see so many stars. It was beautiful. In my prayer, I thanked Heavenly Father for this time to be with Juanita. And then I asked him very sincerely that if it were his will, maybe, just maybe, something might work out between Juanita and me. About 10 minutes later, I re-entered the home, and I could tell that things were winding down. I kept wondering where we were going to sleep. Afton and Emma were already asleep on the floor. At about 11 o'clock, we finally said family prayer. Gary and Marlene were shown to the kids' room, and Dale and Cynthia said good night to Juanita and me. And there Juanita and I were alone. Apparently, we were supposed to sleep in the same room together with only sleeping children as chaperones. I was baffled, and I felt very uncomfortable. But Juanita looked comfortable and simply said, "You can sleep on the couch. I'm comfortable sleeping with the kids on the floor." Then we turned out the lights and tried to go to sleep. Juanita fell asleep very quickly. I could tell she was asleep. She was snoring. But I couldn't sleep very well. Hearing Juanita breathing and being asleep in the same room just didn't feel quite right. Finally, about midnight, I did fall asleep. The next day, Saturday, dawned crisp and beautiful. Surprisingly, after midnight, I had slept well, and when I woke up, Juanita was gone. In that house, she couldn't go far, and I caught her reading through my Valentine again in the kitchen. I could tell she really liked it and was thinking about something. This was just the beginning of a fantastic day. We had a hearty breakfast of very thick oatmeal and then did lots of chores on the ranch. I worked with Dale to tighten fences. We got to ride horses and tractors. The day was heavenly. I could tell that Juanita was really liking me again. That evening, again I asked to go pray. I walked in the field in the moonless night. There were no lights nor clouds to block the sky. I could see so many stars. It seemed like I could see millions of stars. Although the truth is that the most number of individual stars that a human with perfect eyesight can see is 10,000. So it seemed like I could see a million stars, but it was probably only about 10,000. It did seem like these were perfect condition. I prayed again, very sincerely, to Heavenly Father for Juanita. I just knew I wanted to marry her. But I didn't pray that she would marry me. Instead, I prayed that Juanita might consider our relationship and make the decision that was best for her. When I prayed that, I felt such a good feeling. And then I walked back to that tiny basement of a house with a big smile on my face. Cynthia asked me, "Why are you so happy?" I replied, "Oh, nothing. I just know God loves us." And then she smiled, a big smile, and said, "I know a reason you should be happy." She smiled again, and now I wondered, why did she say that? Then I saw Juanita, and she had a big smile on her face, too. She said, "Jeff, do you want to go for a walk under the stars?" I said, "Do I? Do I? I do." Then everyone really laughed. So Juanita and I held hands and walked out under the stars. It was so romantic. Then Juanita opened up to me. She told me that all of her life she had wanted to marry someone like Dale Flake. She wanted to marry a rancher and live on a ranch. She wanted to marry someone who could fix anything with baling wire and duct tape. She wanted to marry a salt-of-the-earth man who worked with his hands. And now Juanita was serious. "When I met you, I really liked you. You were a good friend, and I liked being your friend." Now I thought, oh no, here comes the friend zone again. But she continued, "But then you wanted to be more than just friends. I like that. But you were just so different than the person I thought that I would marry. You're never going to be a rancher, and you don't know how to fix things. You are just not like Dale Flake very much at all." And so I got nervous, and I backed away from you. This evening, however, when you were out saying your prayers, I talked with Dale and told him my predicament. He told me to pray that God would tell me what to do and to follow my heart. And I did that. And so now I want to be your girlfriend again. And then we can see where this relationship takes us. I was so happy. I wanted to kiss her right then. But I knew it wasn't the time for that. But we were both happy and literally skipped back to the house. From that night on, February 14th, 1976, we were boyfriend and girlfriend. And then later we were fiancés. And then we were husband and wife. And then we were parents. But this was a Valentine's Day that changed my life forever. I will tell you more about our courtship in future stories, but for now, I just want to express my gratitude to Heavenly Father for answering my prayers and leading me to a wonderful, eternal companion. It seems like when it comes to marriage, God is often in the details. Well, that's our story for tonight, Chocolate Creams and Valentine's Dreams. I love you. We hope you enjoyed tonight's bedtime story.
We hope you felt our love for you.
And we hope you will have sweet dreams tonight. We love you so much.